Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I want to see you all. Oh, you guys look great. It's very nice to see you. Thank you. Thank you, Dale. Thank you, UBC, for welcoming my family and I here today. David, Brenda, and I, and all the staff at NEA want to send and express our deep, deep gratitude to each one of you and this church for all you have done to support them in the work over the last many, many, many years. They want you to know how excited they are to welcome this build team and teaching team. There's a lot of excitement in the region because of that. And they just send a really big, big hello to each and every one of you this morning. Well, when you give a testimony in Ghana, you always start with a song. Whether you're a good singer or whether you're not a good singer, you start with a song. And then everybody kind of joins in and helps you out, and you sing the song another 6, 7, 8, 10 times. Then someone will hit the drums, and the beat will begin, and you'll sing the song again another 6, 7, 8 times. And all of that happens before a word of testimony has even been spoken. Now, we're not going to do that today because there's a very important hockey game on, and I know you would be very upset if I kept you late, but I am going to ask you to stand, and I am going to teach you a song that expresses the testimony I want to share to you today. And for the build team and the teaching team, you need to learn this song. So stand with me. It goes like this. Unto the Lord be the glory, great things he has done. Unto the Lord be the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has done, greater things he will do. Unto the Lord be the glory, great things he has done. Very good. So you've got it now. So let's do it one more time all together. Unto the Lord be the glory, great things he has done. Unto the Lord be the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has done. Greater things he will do. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great things he has done. Very well done. Thank you so much. The African church would be very proud of you this morning. So Psalm 40, verse 5 says, many, O Lord, are the wonders you have done. The things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak of them, they would be too many to declare. Well, in 2007, when the first health team set out from this church, we had no idea what we were in for. Is Luann here? Did we have any idea? Cindy? Carolyn, Tim, Sarah, we had no clue. But NEA had a big dream. They wanted us to visit the sick. And they wanted us to help them figure out how to build healthcare, sustainable healthcare. We had very humble beginnings. We didn't know much of anything. And we relied on God for absolutely everything. And now, today, there are just too many wonders. Too many wonders to declare and recount to you today. So I've chosen a handful of things, a handful of great things that I want to share with you this morning. All right, number one, this mission was about great outcomes. The final mission that we just got back from was such a success. And the outcomes we had were just truly miraculous. In a region of the world where families have minimal access to any health care, look what happened. 5,735 patients were served by our doctors, nurses, and pharmacists. I'm certain we dealt with every tropical and non-tropical acute and chronic illness that you could ever imagine on this mission. We even saw things we were prepared to see but hoped we would never see. Things like snake bites. Every year, Sherry carries anti-snake venom in a battery-operated cooler along with us every day, just in case we need it. And this year, we actually needed it 3 times. And I realized I hate poisonous snakes more than I even thought I did. 1,385 patients received eye care, and 175 of those with glaucoma had their vision saved by laser surgery. In Ghana, Ghana has the second highest rate of glaucoma in the entire world, and glaucoma is the leading cause of blindness in the world. And right now, our team is the only we're the only people doing laser surgery for this condition. So we had people coming from all over the country. 375 patients received dental care, and 290 hernia surgeries were completed, which means that since the beginning of our program, we're up to over 3,000 hernia surgeries. These are by far the biggest numbers of patients we've been able to serve in 2 weeks. And it speaks to the incredible preparation, the incredible teamwork and work ethic of this team, some of whom have joined us today. But you know, in fact, for us, it wasn't at all about these numbers. We really don't pay attention to numbers while we're there. It's about each patient, each one that sits in front of us that we can show love and compassion to. Like this little girl, if you look closely at her, you'll see she has a pink band on her arm with a cotton swab attached to it, a little cotton ball. Somehow, this little one figured out our system that to get to the doctor past all the checkpoints, you had to have a wristband. So she made one. She made a wristband, and her creativity melted the heart of someone at the gate or in triage. And the next thing we knew, her whole family, and I think her whole extended family, got VIP passes, and they were in, and they got full treatment for every condition they had. Secondly, I wanted to point out the outcomes of our Layata project. I've been reporting to you on this program since 2012. This is the program funded by the Canadian government that saves moms and babies during childbirth. In 2012, you sent Susan Faulkner. Are you here, Susan? You sent Susan Faulkner and I out for the first training session of this program, and I've been updating you since. So listen to this. Listen to what's happened. This program is now running in 180 villages. The newborn death rate has plunged from 45 babies per 1,000 deliveries that used to die now to 4 babies per 1,000. Last week, the team emailed me and said the total number of babies now saved is approaching 3,000. Most of the babies who died, those 4 per 1,000 that die, are often born to moms who are adolescents. So as a result of that, the Layata team that you see here started the Adolescent Healthcare Club. This healthcare club now has 16,617 adolescents in it. And these kids are being sensitized on reproductive health, family planning, and the effects of teenage pregnancy. For maternal mortality, the current goal in Ghana, the national goal, is to try to reduce the number of women dying in childbirth to below 70 per 10,000 deliveries. Guess how many maternal deaths there were in 2019 in the 180 Layata villages? Anyone? The goal is to get it under 70. 35. Zero. Yeah. Zero maternal deaths. So that's just a snippet for you, for the numbers people in the room, of the outcomes of this healthcare partnership that began 12 years ago. The second thing I want to tell you about is the great joy that this mission was for us. I want to show you a few pictures. This is Dr. Charlie after a very long, hard, hot day. This is Jane. She's sitting in an eye clinic that is about 42 degrees, and she's singing Mamma Mia tunes as she gives people their eyeglasses. This is Graham and Graham. A phenomenon started a number of years ago by which people started naming their baby boys after my husband. I know, right? You thought he had a big head already. What a joy for him to meet all these little Grahams running around Ghana. This is my son Josh, who had the joy of being given a goat by a group of villages. It was so lovely for him and joyful for him to visit his goat every day. Until the last day of the mission, he went to visit his goat. He couldn't find his goat. You probably know where I'm going with this. Dinner was served, and we enjoyed goat delight for dinner. He said it was really delicious, though. Brenda was with us this year. What a joy, especially for Kim and I, to be with Brenda again and serve alongside this incredible, incredible woman. I'd like to draw your attention to the second woman on the left in this next picture, in the mini skirt and the red shoes. Yeah, that's Marion Hurlburt on talent night singing in an air band. Talk about joy. What a joy for her, this faithful, kind servant who started our eye program and has now seen where that program is 12 years later, ready to be handed over to the team at the Leata Hospital. What a joy it was for our Ghanaian healthcare professionals like Eric at the head of the bed. He's now in charge of anesthesia, where our expat trainer from UK is standing behind him, cheering him on. And then Kyle, our dentist, who finished working on this little one's tooth. And the little boy stood up and looked at Kyle with the gauze in his mouth and said, "We are friends now." Can you imagine? We are friends now. And you know, our collective joy really comes down to those four words. As Dale said, it's the precious relationships amongst our team members, amongst our Ghanaian healthcare colleagues, amongst our friends at NEA, and most importantly, our patients. These relationships have been the foundation of the success of this work, and I believe will continue to be the foundation of all of our future partnerships. So thirdly, this mission was about great hope. You know, we were really worried that this being our last mission would cause a sense of despair amongst ourselves, amongst the people of Ghana, knowing we were coming for the last time. Well, it wasn't like that at all. This mission was so full of hope, so full of excitement and celebration, because the walls of the Leata Hospital are rising up. This picture that I keep showing you is actually a picture of the brick-making factory on site in Carpenter. It's running 24 hours a day, and they're churning out about 2,000 handmade bricks for the hospital every day. You hear this going all day, the building, the building. As the Bible says, there's a time and a season for everything, right? We know that. And now it is the right time for our short-term work, which is not sustainable and very expensive, to end, so that every effort can be poured into this long-term sustainable solution, which is the Leata Hospital. This is us, this next shot. This is us standing very symbolically and very emotionally, I have to say, on the steps of the future emergency department of the Leata Hospital. Oh, can barely even look at that picture. So a few updates for you about the hospital. You will remember David telling you that when he heard the price of this hospital was 10 million US dollars, he got this. Do you remember what he said? He tasted acid. He tasted acid in his mouth. Well, I forgot to get permission to give you an update on this. I'm looking to see if anybody from Grid is here that can give me a thumbs up. I don't think so. Okay, well, let me just say that David's not tasting very much acid in his mouth right now. So just stay tuned for a public announcement in the very near future. But we just cannot believe what God has provided. Construction is way ahead of schedule. It's way easier to build a hospital in Ghana than it is in Uxbridge, let me tell you. And who here was involved in helping us pack those two huge containers on our property? What were they, Glenn? Like 100-foot trailers? 200-foot trailers? Okay, 40, sorry, I exaggerate. 40-foot containers. Who helped pack those? Put your hands up really high, because we did that in snow and rain, and it was like miserable. Okay, message from David. They have arrived. Yes, they arrived. No corrupt officials got their hands on anything. The containers are unpacked, and nothing was damaged. And David, thanks you for all the wonderful Christmas presents. So thank you. I'm particularly excited to announce to you that this group, plus a number of others, the leaders, the leadership of this mission, have pledged now to continue as a medical advisory committee from all over the world to stay on with David and Brenda and the hospital team over the next 2 years to help them with all the work. There's a lot of work to get these doors open, programming and staffing, and you can imagine. So I'm just thrilled that all of these leaders are staying on in probably a bigger capacity than we've ever been in, to be honest. And then, God willing, the group of us are going to head back for the opening and be there to cheer on our friends as they open the doors and begin serving the people. So great outcomes, great joy, great hope. I mean, that's the best way I can summarize this mission this year. God did his part. And this team, this exceptional team, we don't even really think of ourselves as a team, though, do we? We actually refer to ourselves as family now. They did their part. They brought, you can imagine, to report what I've just reported to you, they brought the most amazing display of love, compassion, leadership, service, teamwork, resilience, you name it. They poured their hearts into each day of those 2 weeks. Well, my song that I sung testifies not only to the great things God has done, but it refers to the greater things he will do, right? I actually didn't really appreciate that until this year when we sung the song. But I didn't dream there would be anything greater than the mission, or especially greater than the hospital. But there are a few things I want you to hear about that I believe are the greater things that God is doing as a result of all the things I've already talked about today. So first off, gender equality. Gender inequality violates people's human rights and it keeps people in poverty. Because as you can imagine, when men and women are not able to enjoy the same opportunities, rights, and responsibilities in all areas of life, societies just can't flourish. And NEA has been doing the very, very challenging work in the region for quite a number of years, actually, to challenge and try to shift the beliefs and attitudes and practices among individuals and communities and even in the church to challenge gender injustice and the impact of it. We had no clue that we actually would be a catalyst for this issue It's not at all what we set out to do. But as people watched groups of professional women, many of whom are moms and grandmas, arriving to deliver health care, a ripple effect started to take place because parents and leaders started to say, well, maybe our girls could be professionals too. We never thought of that, actually. Then more and more girls were released from domestic duties to attend school. And NEA started graduating more women in their post-secondary scholarship program. It's important that you understand how significant this is. It's not a topic you want to roll your eyes on or say, oh, here's the women's lib speech or whatever. According to the WHO, for each year a girl stays in school, it increases her likelihood that her children will survive. If all women in sub-Saharan Africa complete primary education, not high school, just primary, then maternal mortality in Africa would drop by 70%. For each year a girl is in school, each additional year, her income will go up 20%. And when all a country's kids, boys and girls, receive high school education, the risk of war decreases in half. This is such a significant issue. NEA just conducted an intensive gender justice program for all its staff and pastors and leaders. It's transforming communities. And on January 13th, it is expected that 3,000 people at least will gather in Carpenter as Elizabeth Menza, pictured here with her husband Justin and her son Ezra, that's David and Brenda's eldest daughter, she will be installed as the queen mother of the entire tribe. This is hot off the press. In this powerful role, she will be responsible for choosing chiefs, leading all queen mothers, providing counsel to all chiefs and all elders, and will be responsible for the social conditions within the society. Can you believe that? You can pray for Elizabeth. To quote Brenda, she says, "This is a vast door the Lord is opening, and we believe Elizabeth will be part of pulling together a national movement for meaningful impact." Isn't that something? The second door that has opened wide has been the door of development. You know, a great deal of research and study by the world's smartest people have gone into trying to figure out how you grow an economy. What is the formula that leads to growth and development in places like India and China that were impoverished? The bottom line is, no one actually knows. There is no formula, and it continues to be somewhat of a mystery. When you try to replicate the success of one country in another country, it just doesn't work. But what experts do agree upon, they really should have talked to David and Brenda before they poured all these billions of dollars into this study. What they do agree upon is that the best way for developing a country is to attempt to raise living standards, not by trying to boost economic growth in vain, but rather invest in education, invest in healthcare, and focus on the well-being of the poor. Precisely the thing that NEA has been doing all along. Today, signs of development are popping up everywhere. If you look at this picture in the middle, at the top, can you see what's standing there? It's a cell phone tower. On the Carpenter compound, there's now a cell phone tower. And just outside that, there's now a paved road. And under the paved road, there's high-speed internet cables for the hospital. And schools are being built, and growth is happening, and development is happening. It is, quite frankly, unbelievable, and it's gaining attention all over the world because now people want to try to replicate what's being done here. And finally, the third door that has opened wide is the door to the gospel. You know, in the early years of our mission, some people felt our health team wasn't evangelical enough. And I got, at one point, someone kind of ripped me apart publicly over this. Even recently, David and Brenda have taken flack from some who believe that all the resources going into the Layata Hospital are inappropriate and will detract from ministry. I'm wondering what you think about that. This little girl is holding a piece of bread in one hand, and she's holding the medical charts for her whole family in the other hand. So I'm wondering, do we think that feeding the hungry and providing health care for the sick is ministry or isn't it? Thank you. Well, of course it is. And this is why you will often hear David Menza refer fondly to this hospital as the Jesus Hospital, because it and every part of NEA's work is modeled after the ministry that Jesus himself taught us. Meeting people's basic needs, especially for healthcare, has opened doors to the gospel that have been closed tight. Like Kim's story, Muslim leaders are coming to NEA and saying, well, our God did nothing to save our mothers or our kids. Our God didn't stop the epidemic of hernias. Our God didn't care that we could see or not see. Tell us about your God. So friends, rest assured, the church is growing so fast in northern Ghana that NEA cannot keep up. They can't keep up with building buildings. They can't keep up with training pastors. As Paul said, this is why you folks are going to build a 100-room dorm, because the need for biblical leadership training amongst everyone, chiefs, queen mothers, youth, pastors, the list, health workers, the need is so great that NEA needs places to sleep all those people when they train them. So I started with a song, and I'd like to close with a story, a kid's story. You guys used to do children's stories here a long time ago, remember? Yeah. My husband tells me he was one of those smart aleck kids that used to give the inappropriate answer when the answer was supposed to be God or Jesus. You can ask him about that. This story is called Your Special Gift. It's written by Max Lucado, and it's about a group of wooden people called the Wemmicks. The Wemmicks woke up one day to discover they all received gifts, but they didn't know who gave them to them, and yet each gift was just so perfect. It was so perfect for each person. So one day a family in need arrived to the village, Wemmickville, and the Wemmicks tried to help, but it was a mess. Their help didn't work. In fact, their help caused harm and made things worse. So they went to Eli, who is the woodcarver, their maker, and asked him for advice. And this is how the story goes. So together they walked up the hill to Eli's workshop. Punchinello knocked on the big door. Eli opened it, wearing his apron and his warm smile. Hello, friends. He sat down on the bench. How can I help you? Well, they told him about the family of travelers, and as they described the broken wheel, Eli nodded. I know. When they told their maker about the lost clothing and the ruined food, he nodded again. I know that too. They're coming to see you, Eli, Lucia asked. I know, he smiled. You know? You knew? You knew about the wheel and the food and the clothing? I did. You knew they were coming to see you? He nodded again. The Wemmicks looked at each other. They all looked at Eli, and then they asked the obvious question, then why didn't you help them? I did, he said. The Wemmicks were puzzled. You did? How? How did you help them? I sent you. Us? You? I led you. I led these people through the village so you could help them. For a moment, no one spoke, and finally, one of them asked, or commented, this is our problem, Eli. We really do want to help, but we don't know how. The wheel's broken, the travelers are still cold, the food is still bad. Sounds to me, Eli said, like everyone's doing something, but no one is doing the right thing. What? Try this, Eli smiled. Each of you do the most what you do the best. The villagers pondered his words. Do the most what you do the best, Eli repeated. You have gifts, don't you? For a moment, no one spoke. And they didn't smoke either. Then Punchinello remembered. I do. I have a hammer. And I have a guitar, Splint piped up. Someone gave me a needle and thread, Woody added, and one by one, the Wemmicks announced their gifts until Lucia realized, did you give those to us, Eli? The maker nodded and smiled. Use the gifts I gave you. Don't try to use a gift you do not have. Just do the most what you do the best. Well, it would be really fun to reread this story. And instead of the families in Wemmickville, we could talk about the families in Ghana, in Pekanjakum, in Waigamau, China. And then, like the Wemmicks, we too could announce our gifts. Sherry, in this picture, would stand up and she'd say, well, I have a mortar and a pestle. Kim would be pretty quick to wave her clipboard at us and organize us. Marion would pull out eyeglasses from her purse or from her car or off her dining room table. And it would just continue. I have a stethoscope. I have hands that can start IVs. I can run an emergency room. I have a dental drill. I can take blood. I can dress a wound. I can recover a patient after surgery. And more of you would stand up and announce your gifts. I have trucks, and I know about bulldozers. I have a hammer. I can build. I have pencils, and I can teach. I can cook, I can preach, I can encourage, I can help, I can give, I can pray, I can love and encourage women. I can collect hockey skates. I can coach and teach hockey. We could go on and on and on as the people in this room announce their gifts. Well, our testimony proves that our complex world with complex problems doesn't need to paralyze us at all. We've been given gifts, we have the time, we have the resources, and with God's help, we can make a difference. Will there be challenges and disappointments and failures along the way? Ask Sue, who's here today, who broke her leg 2 days before our mission, if there will be disappointments along the way. Of course there will. You might as well get up every morning and just expect these things and embrace them because they're part of life. My New Year's challenge to you today is the message of this sweet little book and of the Bible and of Jesus himself. Get to know your Maker. Listen to what he says about you, not what others say. Take your instructions from him, not from individuals, not from your parents. Well, you should take instruction from your parents, but you know what I'm saying. Don't take your instructions from other people or institutions that might intentionally or even unintentionally put limitations on your gifts. Announce them and use them to do the most what you do the best. Because our world really, really needs you. They need all of you. They need all of your gifts. I know I will be cheering you on and watching as God does great things and then even greater things in and through your life as you continue to serve him. May God bless you and your families and this church for all you have done for Ghana. And may he replenish you many, many fold for all you have given. And to the team heading out, the build and the teaching team, I say, Kurawi Shira, God bless you, and may he bring you home safely to your loved ones. Amen.